From high atop the ice surface at MTS Center, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by producer Michael Remus and analyst Richard Pollock. The Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs by a 5-4 margin in overtime. And Richard, going back about 9 hours ago now, we were at Boston Pizza City Place for the Illegal Curve hockey show, and really, within 10 minutes of being there, when a group of rowdy Leafs fans were chanting, "Go Leafs, go," throughout the broadcast, you knew that this was going to be a fun game here at MTS Center. A great energy in the building. I mean, a ton of Leaf fans, but that's no surprise.
No.
Ton of Leaf fans and a great energy. And the Winnipeg Jets, after squandering a 4-1 lead, come back and are able to pull out the victory, get the 2 points by a 5-4 margin.
Maybe not how you drew up a victory if you're Paul Maurice, but you get the 2 points. The fans had a great time. It was an excitement level. There was an energy level, and you came out with the victory in overtime. But yeah, you know, Drew, I thought that the Jets had some strong points in the game, had some points that they need to work on. But as the game was going to overtime, I leaned over to you or Dave Minuk, I can't remember who it was, and I said, "This is a perfect game for a coach to get a win out of, because you blow the 4-1 lead, and then you come back and score in overtime, so you get the 2 points, but then can teach the team that, hey, you guys can't blow the 4-1 lead. This is what you need to do to not blow it." So you can use that as a positive mm-hmm. and a lot of constructive criticism while also getting the points and not having to be as desperate as you would be if you lose tonight in a shootout.
Yeah.
You have the possibility of going into Chicago of getting 1 point, you know, losing to them, hanging 1 point 3 games in a what is sold as a playoff chase, and I still think it is. So that is a positive for Jets fans. You get 2 points, and you've won 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
And your only loss was to San Jose, 1-0.
Yeah.
Whether or not you should have won Anaheim, I don't care. You still won it. So 12 out of 14, and you're 8 points back, I believe, out of the playoffs now. I didn't see if Minnesota and Vancouver played tonight or won. But, hey, you know, you want to trim it. What I've been saying is trim it down to 4. If you somehow can, before the Olympic break, and then you're talking.
Minnesota plays at San Jose in a game that'll get underway in about 30 minutes' time. Vancouver has the night off in the NHL, to your previous point. But you're absolutely right. You know, it is the Winnipeg. If you looked at this 4-game stretch,
yeah,
you had Anaheim Tuesday, you had San Jose Thursday, you had Toronto tonight, and you have the back-to-back in Chicago tomorrow. You said the one game the Jets have to win was this one. Now, it was a bonus that they won the Anaheim game, but then they had to win this one.
Well, they have to win them. I mean, yeah. Think they would win them.
Exactly
fair
right.
Chance.
Yeah, fair enough.
But,
and,
you know,
go ahead.
The Chicago game, we'll see what happens there. I still think they can skate with Chicago. They can't skill with Chicago. And you have to play that game is similar to San Jose, obviously not similar to Anaheim.
Yeah.
Although San Jose is more similar to Chicago, I think, than Anaheim is in the style of play. But Nashville coming to town on Tuesday. That's a team ahead of you.
Yeah.
I'm checking the standings after the win, but I think they're still ahead of them. If not, they're close.
I think they're tied. They might be tied with them now. I think coming into tonight, they were tied with them.
A team in the way of the teams that you're chasing, and that's a must-win game on Tuesday as well. So, I mean, basically all must-wins now are close to it, and the division games are especially important against teams that you're chasing.
Yeah, let's start breaking down this game. We'll go goal by goal, as we always do here on the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Mark Scheifele got the Jets on the board at the 3:10 mark of the first period. His 10th of the year, assist to Evander Kane and Blake Wheeler on this one. Sort of turnover along the boards in the Leaf zone. Puck comes out to Scheifele in the slot. Wrist shot through James Reimer. Probably a puck he's got to save. He wasn't very good tonight for the Leafs.
Reimer wasn't good, and, you know, unfortunate to see a guy like that struggle in his home province, a home game for him. Carlisle giving him the start. And, you know, Bernier seems to be grabbing that job and running with it, and it's likely that, you know, Reimer, not likely, but it's possible Reimer doesn't even finish the season in Toronto. That may not be a bad thing for his career, but that's as an aside. You know, you look at that goal, Scheifele gets in hard on Gleason on the forecheck, and Scheifele's really improved his skating. Gleason's not a great skater. He gets in on him on the forecheck in the corner. Puck swings around to Kuhlman on the left wing, so the left side of the defensive zone if you're looking out as a goalie. Wheeler, good skater as well, hard on Kuhlman. So you have two guys hard in on the forecheck. Puck gets turned over, comes to Kane, who puts the puck to Scheifele, who's in a shooting position, gets a shot on goal, 1-0. Scheifele's worked hard. You saw him this morning again at practice, working on a lot of things in front of the net, shooting. Great goal there, and that's all created by a forecheck with speed and a quick transition into offense for a goal.
Jets added to their lead 3 minutes and 24 seconds later at the 6:34 mark of the first period. It's a power play goal. Blake Wheeler gets this one from Jacob Trouba. Andre Pavlik picks up the secondary assist on this goal. We had said on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show that special teams were going to be something to watch tonight. Yep. And there were a total of 3 power play goals. So that came to fruition. Both teams, well, the Leafs very strong on the power play, not very good on the penalty kill. The Jets, you know, not very good on the power play and better on the penalty kill. But anyways, it turned out to be three power play goals tonight. This was the first one. Jets took a 2-0 lead. Great speed by Blake Wheeler. This is why he was, this goal is the reason why the skill set he displayed on this goal is the reason why he's on the U.S. Olympic team.
Yeah, one of the reasons why, Drew, and he's really good when he's on the power play or 4-on-4, coming on the left side, yeah, even 5-on-5 at times, coming on the left side and burning down the left side, which is his off wing, and coming into the middle. That play is a large part created by the way that the Leafs play on the penalty kill. They got a little bit stagnant in their defensive formation, and on the penalty kill in the neutral zone, Trouba comes up with the puck, skates really, obviously great skater, comes up quickly through his own zone, hits Wheeler, who's streaking down through the neutral zone. Cody Franzen, in the formation that the Leafs use, is on a bit of an island on the right side of the ice there. Wheeler sees that, gets the puck, burns right by Franzen, who's not a great skater anyways, turns a corner, scores on James Reimer 2-0.
Yeah, it was Jacob Trouba, the pass from Trouba to Wheeler there was terrific, and it was quick. You know, it was quick in transition on the mm-hmm. power play. Jets with a lot of speed through the neutral zone there to take advantage of a slow-footed Leafs defense in that instance.
I bet if they do film footage, you know, like kind of like PK Subban at times, they do film footage, like if you watch CH24 on TSN. Jacob Trouba is best when he's doing that.
Yeah,
a little bit later in the game, he's so talented. A little bit later in the game, he's trying to do too much out of his own zone. He turned it over a few times. But what you want to be able to do is get the puck and move it up quick.
Yeah.
And I know he can skate it out too, and that's helpful many, many times. But in this instance, there's a perfect example of quick ups that I know is on the power play of how that helps create speed. Because you're moving the puck so quickly, and the old saying is the puck moves quicker than the skater.
It was 2-0 for the Jets at the end of the first period, but the score, I think, flattered the Jets a little bit. I thought the last 10 minutes of the first period, the Leafs sort of took the play to the Jets, and Andre Pavlik had to come up big on a couple different times and make some key stops to keep it a 2-0 game at the end of 20 minutes.
Yeah, there were times, Drew, where it could have been a little bit closer score, not 2-0, 1-1, but you know that's the way they go, and you'll take it.
Absolutely, you'll take it. Leafs got on the board at the 6:13 mark of the second period. It was Dion Phaneuf on the power play from Phil Kessel. Just an absolute rocket from Phaneuf at the point. Huge screen in front of Pavlik. There's probably about 6 guys' bodies in front of him there. Yeah. And Phaneuf finds the back of the net with the puck.
Yeah, you know, Phaneuf gets a great shot off Drew, as you said. He's got a great slap shot. Always has had a great slap shot. The puck kind of moves through Kessel and Phaneuf on the power play. Kessel sets up Phaneuf both on their offsides, if you want to put it that way. Phaneuf getting the pass from left to right, mm-hmm. and Kessel making the pass from left to right. He's playing on his offside. James Van Riemsdyk is screening Pavlik here. Now, if you take a step back, Van Riemsdyk is parked right in front of Pavlik, right outside the crease, exactly how you're supposed to screen a goaltender, okay? But the thing is, Stewart is in front of him, and they call that fronting, kind of taken from a basketball term, where you front, if you're fronting a guy in the post, right? So Stewart is in front of James Van Riemsdyk, Van Riemsdyk is behind him, and then Pavlik is, of course, at the top of the crease, or right around there. The problem you have is kind of, you know, I referenced back to Charlie Huddy being on our show, you know, 2 months ago and asking him about fronting. He's like, I don't really like fronting. I'm more old school. So my policy kind of is if you front the offensive player, you should block the shot. Otherwise, you're leaving a forward unimpeded in front of your own goalie and clearly he's going to be able to screen the goalie well. That's one of those cases where you leave him there unimpeded. He can't see anything that happens. Phaneuf's got a rocket of a shot. Nice pass by Kessel. Puck's in your net.
Exactly right. The Jets, to their credit, took them only a minute and 20 seconds later to regain the 2-goal lead. Brian Little gets this goal, assists to Toby Enstrom and Dustin Byfuglien on this one. It's Little's 17th of the year. Real heads-up play by Enstrom here with the slap pass. Little sort of in the mid-slot right above the blue paint and just tips it in.
Yeah, you know, the puck is moving from the top of the blue line. What you have is Byfuglien moving into the middle.
Yeah.
And you're moving to the middle to try and create separation in the box, that the Leafs are going to try and use to kill penalties. The Jets were practicing this kind of play, and I think the first option wasn't there based on how I saw them practicing this morning. So what Buffon does is he gets it across to Enstrom. And what Enstrom does is he makes a good decision, puts kind of a hard shot pass onto Brian Little's in the slot. Great tip in by Little. Pucks in the net. Jake Gardner, a guy who has a ton of offensive potential, but at times is lacking in the defensive aspect of the game. Doesn't get to Little quick enough. Doesn't get his check. Doesn't get a stick check specifically, and Little gets the puck in. Nice puck movement. Good goal.
37 seconds later, the Jets make it 4-1. The place is rocking at that point in time. Zach Bogosian gets his second of the year, assists to Brian Little and Andrew Ladd on this one. Sort of a seeing eye shot from the point that just found its way past through traffic and behind James Reimer, and that spelled the end of James Reimer's night.
It did, Drew, and that was just kind of a sustained pressure shift. Well, the Jets don't have a ton of those. But they were in there, and pressure, and pressure, and pressure, and the Leafs were tired, and a little ragged, and a little sloppy, and the puck got back to Bogosian, and Bogosian, this is what happens when you hit the net.
Yeah.
He didn't put a lot on it.
Nope.
It wasn't a slap shot. He puts a little wrist shot through. But sometimes, you know, it's not how strong it is, how hard it is, it's where it goes. And it's important to get the shot through. So if he means taking off something sometimes, and maybe he can learn from this, that might be a benefit. Yep. The puck gets through. Sure, Reimer should have had it. But that's what happens when you get the puck through. And I know it was kind of a scuff. It was kind of a schmozzle in front of in the slot there.
Yeah, that's a technical term in hockey, I believe.
Term, but yeah. There was about 5-6 guys between the hash marks really there. The puck got through. But it did. And that's all that matters.
Again, a minute later, though, the Leafs responded. And it ends up being 4 goals in a 3-minute and 1-second span. It's Troy Bodie. He gets his second of the year. Assist to Nazem Kadri and Morgan Riley. A save that Andre Pavlik has to make. Bodie's shot beats him clean blocker side. But
good shot, but yeah. It's
what Pavlik wants to have back.
Nazem Kadri, this is where, you know, Nazem Kadri becomes a polarizing player because he's so skilled, right? So he skates through the neutral zone with great speed and great hands. Olli Jokinen takes a stick check at him and misses him, and that was a poor play by Jokinen in the neutral zone. You gotta angle him to the board, you gotta hit him, you gotta do something. You can't just wave at him and let him go by.
Like we said on the show this morning, don't let these guys build up speed.
Right.
Put a body on them and impede their progress.
100% is exactly what happened. They create speed from, you know, through his own zone to the neutral zone. Good hands, dekes out Jokinen, and then what happens is he gets the puck to Bodie. Now, Bodie is actually a funny thing, because they had a little bit of a problem changing guys at the bench, the Leafs. And so they had two guys who were coming on at the same time. Bodie was one of them. Usually when you have a breakout, you're going to have certain guys, certain places. They're going to be spread out, obviously, because you want to make a player, a team defend. That wasn't the case here. So they had two guys right outside the bench, but Kadri was able to get through the neutral zone basically on his own. And then he passes to one of the guys off the bench. That's Bodie. Bodie had a little bit of room, put a nice shot in, but probably Pavlik should have had it, and they should have been. But that's one where the team has to be better in the neutral zone to prevent that chance to begin with.
That's right. Porters of Prairie native Troy Bodie, so good for him, probably in front of some friends and family here to get his second goal of the year. 4-2 at that point for the Jets. The Leafs made it 4-3 at the 16:44 mark of the second period. It was a really hectic second period. Yeah. 5 goals in total. Tim Gleason gets this one. It's assist to Carter Ashton and Cody Franzen. It's a really innocent shot from Gleason. It tips off of Jacob Trouba's stick, redirects through Andre Pavlik's 5-hole. One he probably also wants back, but the deflection of this off Trouba probably gives him a little bit of an excuse there.
Credit here goes to Cody Franzen, because the play starts in his own zone. He didn't have a great game tonight. I thought he was a little bit all over the place. But he, with his skill, is able to kind of turn that corner in his own zone. He turns down the right side. He's a right side defenseman. And he beats the Jets to his own blue line. He beats the forecheck to his own blue line. Gets a pass to Ashton. Ashton has some space. Gets over the offensive blue line. Drops a puck. Drops a puck to Tim Gleason. Not a great shot.
Yeah.
Not a great shooter. But he shoots the puck, it hits Trouba, as you said, and Pavlik lets it in, 4-3.
4-3, and this arena was really loud tonight, but I think it was probably the most, since the Jets have been back, that an opposing team was able to take over the arena. There were a lot of rival go Jets go, go Leafs go chants.
There were.
I don't think people should be shocked at the number of Leafs fans in Winnipeg.
I think it makes it more fun, Drew.
This was a great atmosphere.
Yeah, I like it, because it makes the Jets fans louder, because they feel like they have to offset, obviously.
Protect their house.
Protect their house. Overtake the noise of the Leafs fans. And The Leafs fans are rowdy. They realize it's the only game in, you know, in the city this year unless they're going to be in the finals. So it makes the game that much more important. Hockey and Canada makes it more important. Bob Cole was in the building. I mean, who can't get up for this game?
Yeah, if you can't get up for this game, check your pulse. You might not be alive.
That's right.
Third period didn't see any action. No scoring. Back and forth period. Didn't see any scoring until the 18:27 mark, where Phil Kessel ties the game after a turnover in the Jets zone by Zach Bogosian. Assist goes to James Van Riemsdyk. This play is sort of an interesting one. If it was any other time in the game besides 2 minutes to go, the Leafs and Van Riemsdyk are called for a holding penalty.
Yeah,
he grabbed a full tug.
He holds a jersey. That's a holding call. I think the ref saw it. I think for sure one ref saw it, if not two. I think that should have been called. They put their whistles away, and I don't mind the whistles away because I think they called too much in the game. However, on that play, what's one of those blatant ones where you can't put your whistle away.
Yeah.
Should have been a hold. Wasn't. Bogosian turns the puck over, and then the Leafs get the puck for a second. Then Bogosian gets it back. The Bogosian's problem there is he turned it over again.
That's right.
And then James Van Riemsdyk passes to Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel's got a wicked shot, gets a good shot off from a bad angle and beats Pavlik. Pavlik has to have that.
Yeah.
I don't care how good Kessel's shot is. I don't care how quick the pass was. It's a bad angle. You don't have as much room to move. Like if you're Pavlik at the corner of the right side of the crease.
Yeah.
And Van Riemsdyk has the puck and he's passing further over to the right. You don't have very far to move. You have to have that puck.
That's right. And it's not like he picked a corner and it was a fantastic shot.
It doesn't matter. It shouldn't be a corner on that angle.
I'm saying, and he didn't do that. It was just a hard shot that went through Pavlik.
Yeah.
Pavlik's worst performance under Paul Maurice. This is Andre Pavlik back in the Claude Noel days a little bit, where he'd been struggling, in the couple weeks before that move
was
made.
This wasn't the Jets' best defensive game either, Drew.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, exactly right.
But he was at fault for a number of these without the Jets' defense.
That's right. The team reverted
back. Made a nice save on Kuhlman's breakaway we didn't talk about.
That's right. I had it marked down thinking that, 2-0, this game might be over at that point, but,
another bad change by the Leafs that actually caused that breakaway because they didn't have enough guys on the ice. Then Kuhlman came out late, the puck got up to him, and he had a great chance, but really he should have been on earlier.
Yeah, that was back in the second period when the game was 2-0 for the Jets at that point.
Before we break down the final goal, when you're coaching against a Randy Carlyle team, Paul Maurice, it's a challenge today. And one thing that Paul Maurice did well, I thought, was get his Kane, Scheifele, and Wheeler line out against Franzen and Gleason. Franzen and Gleason didn't play together last game in Dallas, but they played together tonight. Interesting choice because they both lack speed, and I thought that Paul Maurice's ability to get the Kane, Scheifele, Wheeler line, of course, he has last change out against that defensive pairing, was a factor in tonight's game, dictating the play. Now, one thing to give Carlyle credit for, man, does he coach?
Mm-hmm. He's talking the whole game.
Not even that. He has so many things going on. He's pulling one guy off the bench, one guy on the ice, defenseman here, forward here, this guy on this side, this guy on this side. If you really, it is amazing to see how detail-oriented it is. And I think sometimes, when you watch 24/7, you got the idea that he was more, old school, this and that. And he's
passive.
Old school in certain ways. Not so much he's certainly not passive.
Not passive, but in terms of strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
In the course of game strategy.
And you watch with Babcock and you think Babcock is a strategy guy. And he is. Babcock is a strategy guy. But Randy Carlyle was doing some interesting creative stuff today. So the way that he was portrayed in the series, I think, simplified the way he coaches.
Sure. 4-4 at the end of regulation. The Jets were able to get the OT winner. Dustin Byfuglien at the 2:44 mark. He gets his 12th of the year. Assist to Andrew Ladd and Michael Frolik. 4-on-4 during the overtime. Dustin Byfuglien actually played defense. What'd you see on this goal? It was a good shot by Buff.
You know what, Drew? To be honest with you, this goal was, we can break down some of the other goals and say this and say that. This goal was pretty simple.
Yeah.
Byfuglien came over, got the puck, came over the offensive zone. Finneff gave him a little bit too much room, especially because Buff isn't going to beat you wide. Finneff's got to know that. And Finneff, I actually thought, played pretty well tonight, but he didn't take away the gap quick enough. Byfuglien went between the two defensemen and not skating by them, but between the two defensemen because it gave him the best chance to get a shot through. He stepped over the line, went left to right, shot, glove side on Bernier, winner. It was just all Buff. I mean, there's nothing else to the play.
Yep.
Sure, it could have been a little bit better defended, but Buff made a real nice play there. And I think, aside from his pass to Setoguchi in the second, I thought he played a real poor game. But all that matters is he got the winner there and sends this team home happy.
That's exactly right. The Jets end up winning 5-4. The crowd leaves with MTS Center tonight.
Absolutely.
Quite happy. Looking at the time on ice for tonight's game, we'll look at the Jets, obviously. We don't care about the Leafs. Jacob Trouba, 25 minutes and 39 seconds. He's second on the team behind Toby Enstrom. Toby Enstrom plays a hefty 26 minutes and 3 seconds. I thought Enstrom and Bogosian, Bogosian's turnover notwithstanding, were pretty good tonight.
Yeah, I agree.
Bogosian 24-15 in terms of time on ice among the defensemen. In terms of Mark Stewart actually played a lot of minutes, 21-37 as well.
You're going to play Party.
I know.
Ellerby.
No, I'm not exactly right. In terms of the forward group, looks like it was
pretty balanced.
Andrew Ladd, 20 minutes and 33 seconds. He played the most of the forward group. Brian Little, 20-28. And
Little
Michael
played a nice game. I thought he was terrific tonight.
First star of tonight's game. Yeah. Michael Frolik.
We picked him for stars, though. Yeah, I know. So that's not objective. If we say that he thought he was the best, and then we say that he was a star.
Well, that's okay. I'm allowed to cheat every now and then. Michael Frolik, 20 minutes and 9 seconds for the Jets.
Frolik played a pretty quick game, too. I thought the Oakland line struggled. I thought the other two lines created and played. I like the speed element. And
I thought this was a top six forward game for both teams.
It was, and I thought it was, both of those, the strength there is speed. You know, it's not like that Getzlaff Perry dominant below the hash mark game. It's a different game. That's what we said it was going to be today. I mean, that's the way these two teams play, and it was a hell of a game. It was fun, and I hope they're all like that.
Unfortunately, we have Nashville on Tuesday night, and I don't think it'll have the same level of energy here at MTS Center. That's it for us in the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. We have audio from both the Winnipeg Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs dressing rooms on the website illegalcurve.com. That's courtesy of my good friend Dave Manouk. For analyst Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Thanks very much for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.